Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to look at some of the parables of Jesus, and the parables were simply stories that were told in a simple fashion and a very understanding way so that the basic people, the common people of the day, those that didn't have any kind of special training or intellectual capacity or degrees of any type, they could understand what Jesus was trying to say to them. The message was simple, it was straightforward, it was clear, and so he could speak to them in this way so that they would know the kingdom of God, know what his program and his plan for their life was. And so it is for us today also. Many people don't understand. They think they have a veil over their eyes, which they do. The devil has put a veil over their eyes. The Bible says that we lack understanding when we don't know Jesus. We lack understanding, and it's because the world puts a veil over our eyes. The world starts to speak to us in certain ways when we're very young, and the enemy comes and he plants seeds in our heart that builds his kingdom in our heart and builds his kingdom in our mind. And so there's a lack of understanding for what God wants to do in our life. There's a lack of understanding for the plan of God in our life. And especially this day and age, many, many young people have not grown up in homes where they have known Jesus or where they've been taken to church. And so they have a lack of understanding of God's word. They have a lack of understanding of the kingdom of God, and so it is this day here in America and many places around the world that the gospel is coming under persecution. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and so it is today that the parables are very instructional for us and very beneficial for us to study them so that we can know the kingdom of God. Well, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus starts out here and he's talking to the multitudes, and he spoke many things to them in parables, it says in verse 3, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured the seed." Verse 5, "Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And then Jesus closed out the story. He said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, he didn't mean, do you have biological ears? Everybody sitting there had biological ears. What he meant was that if you can understand this, receive it. If you can understand it, if you can have the ability to hear this and understand it, receive it. I have this for you, is what Jesus was saying to the people there listening. And then he said to the disciples, "It is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to these common people, the multitudes, it has not been given them. And so therefore I speak to them in parables so that they can understand, because seeing they do not see, and because hearing they do not hear, and they do not understand." And so Jesus tried to make it very simple. He tried to make it very plain, and he told them that if you will listen to the story, if you will see what I'm trying to show you, what I'm trying to speak to you, then you will know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Well, so this is the interpretation of the parable of the sower, because Jesus spoke this interpretation, and so he said to them and also to the multitudes, he says, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower." This is in verse 18. "Whenever one hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed beside the wayside." And if you remember, we said that the birds came and they snatched it away. Well, beloved, the kingdom of God is spoken to us in parables. The seed that is planted in our heart is spoken to us sometimes in parables. It's sometimes spoken to us in simple gospel message. I have watched many of the messages of Billy Graham, the great evangelist. They were all very simple messages. I watched Greg Laurie recently at the Harvest America Evangelism Outreach in AT&T Stadium down in Dallas. It was a very, very simple message. It was very straightforward. There are some things about the kingdom that have to be discussed, that have to be brought forward. You have to talk about the sin of mankind. You have to talk about repentance. You have to talk about that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but that the free gift of salvation, that gift of eternal life, is given to us so that we can overcome the sin in our life. Through the blood of Jesus, we can overcome the sin in our life. And so that is the simple gospel message. It's a very simple message. But again, as I said before, the devil blinds the eyes of people on this earth. The devil blinds our eyes, and he puts a veil over the eyes of those who have not received the message. So it makes it hard for the message to get in. It makes it hard for them to hear it. It makes them hard for them to see what God wants to do in their life. And so this is the lack of understanding. And this is what Jesus meant when he said the birds came and they snatched that seed away and they took it from the side of the road. The birds came and snatched that understanding out of people's heart so that they cannot understand it. Well, I'm going to pray for those of you out there listening today. Maybe some of you have never understood the gospel message. Maybe it's been a mystery to you. Maybe you've never even heard it before. That's hard to imagine, but I know it's true in some people that they've never really truly heard the simple presentation of the gospel message before. So I'm going to pray for your understanding today. And this comes from Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 17. Paul prays for the people of Ephesus. They're all baby believers, and they're just coming into the kingdom. They're just coming to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Paul prays, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. And so I pray that for you today, that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, and that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, in other words, the eyes of your heart would be open to see what God has for you. Jesus said, seeing they don't see. What we see most of the time is just the things going on in the world, the cars that go by, the people that go by. When you go to a restaurant, you watch people. When you sit on a park bench, you watch people go by, you watch cars go by. We are trained to see the world. And Jesus says, I want your eyes to see and be enlightened with understanding so that you may know what is the hope of Jesus' calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God wants you to know what your calling is, what he has spoken over you, what his plan for your life is, so that you may know the hope of Jesus' calling for your life, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Beloved, we have only scratched the surface. You have only scratched the surface. Some people may look at me and think I've done great things in the kingdom. Well, praise God, I've done a few things, but we have only scratched the surface, and I have only scratched the surface of the great power, the exceeding greatness of the power of Jesus towards us who believe. And according to the working of his mighty power, God wants us to go out there and do something great for the kingdom of God, not just to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Yes, that's great. That's wonderful. That's beyond anything that we deserve. Only by the mercy and the grace of God can we even know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And that is a miracle in itself, that he has the plan of salvation for our life. That is a miracle in itself, that each and every person can come to a place of knowledge of Jesus and be saved and know him for all eternity. But beloved, God wants something even greater than that for you. He wants something even greater than that for me. He wants us to come to a knowledge of the power, the exceeding power, and the exceeding greatness of the power of God for our life and what we can do to push the kingdom and to move the kingdom forward, not only in our life, but in the lives of our family, our children, our community, even nations. Beloved, I have been privileged to see God work in nations, change the destiny of nations. Change the destiny of nations so that people can come to know Jesus, that powers and principalities can be taken down in nations and people can come to know the gospel and the blessings of prosperity, the blessings of walking with the Lord and be free from torment, be free from bondage, be free from the chains that and the shackles that hold them back. And that is God's will for every single person, that they would come to know the exceeding power of the greatness that is in Christ Jesus and the working of his mighty power in our life. And so that is the understanding that God wants you to have, and that is what the devil works so hard to keep people from understanding. And so he snatches that word out of our heart. He takes it, and that's what Jesus said was the birds. They snatch that seed away from the wayside and they take it away, and so that person does not receive the understanding that God wants them to have. Well, the second type of seed that was sown, or the second way that the seed was sown, is that the seed was given onto the stony places, and this is he who receives the word or hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Well, you know that if you're planting a garden and your garden soil is all rocks, you're not going to have a very good garden. The seed comes up. It has a difficult time putting a root down. It struggles to put that root down. And so when the hot winds come or the drought comes, there's no depth of soil and there's no fertility there to maintain that seed and that plant. And so as a result, the plant comes up. Maybe it does a little bit, but it doesn't produce any fruit. And eventually it perishes because the hot winds take the life of that plant away. This is the one who receives that word on the stony soil. He receives it and immediately he receives it with joy. Well, you think about many times people receive the word with joy. They are in a place where they're desperate, they're broken, maybe through bankruptcy, marital difficulty, drug addiction, or brokenness. Some things go haywire in their life and they cry out to the Lord, and so they receive that word with joy, and they receive that word and they think that it's going to just be peaches and cream and a bowl of cherries their whole life. Now that they know Jesus, everything is going to be great. Everything is going to be wonderful. They're just going to be on cloud nine all the time. Well, they come back from the experience, the rehab, or the camp meeting, or the evangelism meeting, the Christian concert, they come back with joy. But as soon as the world hits them and the persecution of the world hits them, then they start to back away from the kingdom. And that is those that receive with joy, but they have no root when tribulation or persecution arises. Because of the word, immediately he stumbles. That's verse 21 in Matthew 13. Persecution is going to come, beloved. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, get ready. Persecution is going to come. It's not only going to come, it's already here for those who believe and those who practice their faith. I read just this week on the internet that this man went into a restaurant somewhere in Indiana, wasn't even in a very liberal state, and he went into this restaurant and he had a gold chain or some type of a chain with a big necklace, a 2-inch cross necklace around his neck, and the a waiter at this restaurant came up and asked him to tuck that necklace into his shirt or behind his shirt. Can you imagine that in America, in Indiana, Bible Belt State, and people are being persecuted for wearing a cross necklace in a public place like that? I mean, it's just unimaginable. These kinds of things are going on in America. In schools, children are asked to hide their necklaces, and in all kinds of public settings, people are asked to hide their necklaces, and bakers are being persecuted because they don't want to bake a cake for a homosexual marriage, or photographers are being persecuted because they don't want to go and do a photography shoot at a homosexual marriage. And so we have all kinds of persecution coming upon those who love the Lord Jesus. Well, this is what Jesus had to say about that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. He said, "Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." He says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Well, beloved, it's difficult to shout for joy when we get persecuted. That's not our natural human reaction, and many times we suffer because of persecution. Well, here in America, it's not a very great suffering. I grant you that. There are people all over the world who are suffering in unimaginable ways, unspeakable ways. They're actually giving up their head. They are being beheaded. Just this week in Mozambique, the Al-Shabaab have raised up their ugly head in Mozambique, and they're beheading people in areas where there's some great missionaries over there, missionary people that I know over in Mozambique, and the Al-Shabaab have persecuted them and tortured and killed and decapitated Christians. And so the persecution is much more real and of greater magnitude in other places around the world. But it will come to America eventually. There will be a tidal wave of persecution, and thank God for the things that are happening. Maybe we have a reprieve here in America right now. We have a reprieve that God is swinging the pendulum back and giving America favor because of certain people in certain high places here in America. Thank God for that. But persecution will eventually come in greater measure, and it will be like a tidal wave, and persecution for Christians, they will be running for their lives at some point here in America and hiding and ducking out just like they are in other places around the world. Well, so that is the seed sown on stony places. It produces no fruit. There is tribulation and persecution that comes when you align yourself with Jesus Christ. So get ready for it. It's not going to be a bowl of cherries. The farther you're out there on the spear, preaching the gospel, doing the work of the kingdom, the greater the persecution is going to be. So you might as well get ready for it. But many don't understand that when they first receive the word, and so they back away, and the seed that is sown on the stony places produces no fruit. Well, the third type of seed that is sown is that which is sown among the thorns. And this is the person who receives the seed, he hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful, or the seed and the kingdom of God becomes unfruitful in their life. Well, in America, this is a big problem. Many, many people have committed and devoted their whole life to the pursuit of mammon, to the pursuit of riches. The great idol in America is the idol of materialism. We want things. We want the best of everything. We look around in our neighborhood. We see all the people with the nice houses. We want a nicer house. We see the people with the nice cars. We want a nicer car. We want nicer clothes. We want nicer everything. And so when people get a pay raise, when they get a promotion in their job, or their lifestyle, their standard of living goes up, then they start to spend more money. And they think they're going to have more money for the kingdom, or they think they're going to have more time for the kingdom of God and to do some work for the gospel, or maybe get involved in church activities, but they look back at their life and nothing has happened. Their lifestyle has gotten better. They've spent more money, bigger, fancier everything. And so the kingdom of God is choked out by the riches and the pursuit of riches of the world. Well, this is what Jesus had to say about that in Matthew 6, verse 19. He said, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve mammon and the kingdom of God. And so many people, they want to receive that seed. They want to do something for the kingdom. They want to get involved with church work. They want to go on a mission trip. I can tell you, beloved, how many, many, many people have told me they want to go to Africa with me, but they can't take 2 weeks off out of the 52 weeks of the year. They can't take 2 weeks off to go to Africa. It isn't even an issue of the money for the trip, because all of the time, the kingdom of God pays for the trip. If you think you want to go for 2 weeks to Africa with me, you're not going to have to dig out of your pocket to pay for it. The kingdom of God, I've never had one single person had any problem raising the money. Even some people have been given a check for $3,500. One check pays for the whole trip, from some generous donor who understands the importance of missions. You're not going to have to pay for it out of your own pocket, but many people, they can't see that, they don't understand that, they can't even set aside 2 weeks of their time, or even a week of their time to go to Mexico, or even half a day of their time to go to church and spend some time in church and Sunday school reading their Bible. They can't do it because they don't have the time to give. And so, beloved, you have the same amount of time as I do, as anybody else, any missionary, any evangelist, any person of God. We all are given 24 hours in the day. What are you going to do with your time? What do you do with your time? Do you devote yourself to mammon? Do you devote yourself to accumulating the riches of the world? Beloved, where are you laying up the riches that God has put into your hand? Are you putting them all here into things of this earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal? If that's what you're doing, you're not going to have anything to show Jesus when you stand before him on that day of judgment. I encourage you, invest in the kingdom of God. Put some money into missionaries. Put some money into your local church. Put some money into ventures and the mission that God has for the kingdom of God in your life and the lives of people who are doing the work of God. I encourage you to do that. Your money in heaven is going to accumulate greater for you than anything that you can possibly do with it here on this earth. Well, verse 23, Matthew 13, I'm going to close with this verse. This is the hallelujah of this parable. "But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Beloved, some people, when the seed plants in them, that seed is good ground. It grows, it produces much fruit. That is God's will for your life today. That is God's will and his plan for every single person. I hope that the words that I'm speaking to you today will produce great fruit for the kingdom of God. They will produce fruit for you and for the kingdom. And so that is my purpose. That has been my purpose now here on the radio broadcast now for 13 years. And for my missions in Africa and other places that I go, it's to see that seed planted in good soil and produce good fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30, so that the kingdom of God can flourish in your life and here on this earth. Mark 10:29, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake who do not receive a 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Beloved, you may be last in your view right now. You may be on the bottom of the totem pole. You may be even sitting out there in prison right now, or incarcerated, or broken. Maybe you're in a drug rehabilitation center, and you are broken, and you may be last. You may be down below, but Jesus says, I'm going to exalt you, and put you up there at the first of the line. And those who leave those things that are comfortable for them, those that are leave their brothers, their sisters, their mother, their father, or their house, their farm, their business, whatever, Jesus says, if you do it for the gospel's sake, I'm going to return to you not only what you gave up, but I'm going to give you back 100-fold of everything that you have sacrificed, everything that you've left behind. I'm going to give you back 100-fold the blessing in this age and in the age to come, and eternal life for every good deed that you've done, for every work that you've done for the kingdom. You're going to be blessed 100-fold. And Jesus said, trust me, watch me, I will do it in your life. And he is faithful and true to keep his promise to us. He's faithful and true, and he is able to keep his promise to us. And beloved, he can do for you what he has done for many, many others, and he will do it. Well, God bless you today. Thank you for listening. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio message. I hope that you would take the time to support this ministry, to sit down and make a contribution, write out a check, and you can do that and store up your treasures in heaven as you move the kingdom of God forward here through your contribution. Stay tuned for contact information. God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Have a good week. Tune in again next week.